take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Ah, good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, December 18th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be our last show of 2015. It's been one hell of a year. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Joining with us from the beginning to the end, we've got so many great memories and so many great people that we met on the road. Spent 100 days on the road this year, 60,000 air miles, and there's plenty more travel coming up in 2016. We are working diligently here at CannabisRadio.com to put together the Legalize America Tour. That's right, putting me on the road, doing the Russ Belville Show from sea to shining sea, doing presentations, questions and answers, town halls, museums, demonstrations, whatever else we can think of. And if you'd like to get involved with this, please let me know. You can find me at Radical Russ everywhere. I'm on Gmail, so you can Gmail me if you want. And if you've got a company, a brand, or just any ideas or help that you'd like to contribute to the Legalize America Tour, please let me know. We're hoping to take off by February and crisscross this country. My hope is to visit all 48 of the contiguous United States by the time we hit the November 2016 election. So help me do it, and we will bring the truth about cannabis to all the people across America. All right, coming up on the show today, a very special show, because we've been leading up to this guest. Over the past five shows, we've covered the California, Arizona, Nevada, Maine, and Massachusetts initiatives to legalize marijuana in 2016. Four out of five of those, everything but the California initiative, are backed by the Marijuana Policy Project. And joining us at half past, we've got Mason Tvert, the communications director of the Marijuana Policy Project. We'll be talking to him from his office in Denver, Colorado, and discussing those four initiatives in Nevada, Arizona, Massachusetts, and Maine. I'll ask him some questions, and we'll get the prognosis on whether they'll make the ballot and how the polls look. So stay tuned for that. We'll follow that up with the Radical Rant, where I'll talk a little bit more about the prognosis for legalization in 2016 and beyond. Also coming up on the show in the Drug War Data Mines, we're going to take a look at the toughest marijuana laws in the United States. I've selected 10 of the 50 states that I believe have the toughest marijuana laws, and it depends on how you want to look at it. There's a couple of different categories we're going to look at: personal possession, hash, cultivation, and driving, and show you where the worst places are in America to get busted for any of those things. Also coming up on the show today, in Behind the Headlines, there is a new anti-drug service campaign. This one's coming out of Australia. It's called You're Worse on Weed, hashtag Stoner Sloth. And while it's a video ad campaign, I've just got to bring some of it to you because it's some of the funniest damn things I've ever seen since This Is Your Brain on Drugs. So stay tuned for that. Coming up right after our Cannabis Radio News, and in the headlines today, we've got a huge announcement from the U.S. Postal Service regarding advertisement of marijuana. We've got an update in Massachusetts on the signatures for their legalization plan. We've got an update from New Hampshire, where a medical marijuana patient sued to get a card, the only card in New Hampshire. Also, an update from here in Oregon, where the Warm Springs tribe has voted on whether or not to grow marijuana on their Oregon reservation. And we've got a story from Oakland involving a TSA official helping to smuggle weed out of the Oakland International Airport. It's all coming up today, plus Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. We got an update on Pharma Bro as well.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The the son of a Polish immigrant who grew up in a Brooklyn tenement. He went to public schools, then college, where the work of his life began, fighting injustice and inequality, speaking truth to power. He moved to Vermont, won election and praise as one of America's best mayors. In Congress, he stood up for working families and for principle, opposing the Iraq War, supporting veterans. Now he's taking on Wall Street and a corrupt political system, funded by over a million contributions, tackling climate change to create clean energy jobs, fighting for living wages, equal pay, and tuition-free public colleges.
People are sick and tired of establishment politics, and they want real change.
Bernie Sanders, husband, father, grandfather, an honest leader, building a movement with you to give us a future to believe in.
I'm Bernie Sanders, and I approve this message.
MJWellness.com, the largest medical marijuana community in the world. Connect with thousands of patients, doctors, industry leaders, and businesses through shared personal experiences along our worldwide network. Discover new therapies and benefits with content tailored to you. Come grow your network on MJWellness.com. You're not alone. Your wellness matters. Learn, live, and thrive. Check out MJWellness.com today.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, December 18th, 2015. The U.S. Postal Service says it's illegal to mail materials containing advertising for marijuana products, even in states that have legalized the federally controlled substance. The policy statement released this week comes in response to a letter from Oregon's congressional delegation asking the service to clarify its policy on the issue. In November, a memo distributed in the Portland Postal District said it was unlawful for newspaper outlets to run marijuana ads and use the U.S. mail for delivery. The memo caused confusion among publishers whose newspapers have published ads for dispensaries and manufacturers in the region. Thomas Marshall, Executive Vice President and General Counsel of the Postal Service, wrote in a letter to the delegation, quote, "Advertisements for the sale of marijuana are non-mailable," end quote. "That's because under the Federal Controlled Substances Act, marijuana sale is prohibited," he said. "That same law also prohibits placing written ads for controlled substances like marijuana in newspapers, magazines, and other publications." The Massachusetts Secretary of State's office today certified 70,739 signatures submitted by the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, clearing the way for the petition to move forward toward the 2016 state ballot. The petition will now be transmitted to the Massachusetts legislature. If the legislature does not adopt the measure, initiative backers must collect 10,792 additional signatures in June 2016 to place the initiative on the November 2016 ballot. If passed, the measure will legalize personal public possession of an ounce of marijuana, home possession of 10 ounces, home cultivation of 6 plants per adult to 12 plants per household, and possession of all the marijuana harvested, as well as a commercial marijuana system with 3.75% state taxes and up to 2% local taxes. A New Hampshire cancer patient who took her home state to court to get a medical marijuana card is coming to Maine to pick up her medicine. New Hampshire approved use of marijuana by people suffering from certain conditions more than 2 years ago, but the first dispensaries aren't open yet. Linda Horan argued in court that she might not live long enough to see them open. Wellness Connection of Maine co-founder Becky DeCoyster says it will be a great honor to serve Horan on Friday in Portland, Maine. New Hampshire Public Radio reports the New Hampshire Attorney General is advising the state's Department of Health and Human Services to start issuing medical marijuana ID cards to eligible patients. New Hampshire Public Radio reports the state health department has received about 70 applications. Members of the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs have approved a plan to build a facility to grow marijuana on their reservation in central Oregon and sell it at tribe-owned stores outside the reservation. Vote comes a year after a U.S. Department of Justice policy indicated tribes could grow and sell pot under the same guidelines as states that opt to legalize. The tribe is one of the first in the country to enter the pot business. Tribal officials said about 80% of tribal voters favored the proposal. More than 1,400 of the 3,300 eligible voters turned out for the referendum Thursday. Warm Springs' plan is to build a 36,000-square-foot greenhouse to grow and process cannabis. Officials expect the project will create more than 80 jobs. Net revenue from the three proposed tribal-owned retail stores in the Portland and Bend areas would top $26 million annually. Federal charges have been filed against a Transportation Security Administration officer suspected of using her position to allow marijuana to be smuggled aboard planes at Oakland International Airport, authorities said. Kiana Scott Clark, age 28, of San Mateo, was arrested Wednesday on a federal grand jury indictment, charging her with conspiring to distribute controlled substances and conspiring to defraud the United States by obstructing, impeding, and interfering with aviation security functions of the TSA. She was scheduled to appear in federal court Friday. According to a federal Department of Justice news release, Clark operated an X-ray machine at the Oakland airport. Authorities said the smuggling went on from at least September 2013 through October of this year and involved 100 kilograms or more of marijuana. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, December 18th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Welcome back, everyone. Today in the Cannabis Focus, we're taking a look at a new anti-drug campaign highlighted by Huffington Post today in their weird news section. This comes from the New South Wales Department of Premier and Cabinet, and the ad campaign is called You're Worse on Weed, and the hashtag is Stoner Sloth. And they don't mean sloth as far as the verb to be, lazy. I mean, they do kind of mean it that way. They mean an actual sloth. They mean an actual sloth, and features three videos that one of them's a family at dinner, another one's kids in school, and a third one is a party situation where the good, normal kids are having a regular old time. And when they turn to the kid who is the marijuana user, it's not a kid, it's a sloth. It's a person in a sloth costume who can't do the most basic of functions. Let's go to the dinner table now, where the stoner sloth can't even pass the salt.
Jason, could you pass the salt, please, darling?
The poor stoner sloth can't even reach over to grab the slot salt. Salt. The family is very disappointed.
Stoner sloth.
You're worse on weed. Hashtag Stoner Sloth. And it just illustrates to me, you know, the anti-drug people are already kind of squares as it is. And the only thing that makes them more square is when they try to be hip on social media and try to make viral videos. These are going to go viral, all right. But not for the reasons they want them to go viral. People are laughing at these. So much so that when I tagged Randy Lee, the head of Project Sam in Oregon, even he hates these videos. It's the first thing that we could agree on is how stupid these videos are. Here's the second one where the kids are taking a test in school.
Okay, time's up. Pens down. Delilah
has failed her test.
Stone of sloth.
Once again, another stoner sloth. You're worse on weed. Hashtag stoner sloth. It's just, these are wonderful. And you can find these online. It's stonersloth.com.au for Australia. Stonersloth.com.au. We take you now to the final scenario where the stoner sloth is at a party.
So I told her she cannot wear socks and sandals out of the house anymore.
It's so funny. What do you think, Dave?
Stoner sloth.
Yes. You're worse on weed. Hashtag stoner sloth. And yeah, I think the stoner sloth is going to go viral, folks. And you really got to see the costume. I encourage you to visit stonersloth.com.au and see the actual sloth costume with the 6-inch sloth claws. And it looks like Chewbacca's disabled brother or something. I don't know what the hell's going on with this thing, but it's hilarious and once again shows how the anti-drug forces out there just keep shooting themselves in the foot. These kind of ads in the United States were run for years and years. I mean, you remember the cartoon dog that would leave you and, you know, the alien that would take your girlfriend and the talking dog and all that kind of stuff. The federal government studied this and found that those ads didn't work. In fact, in some cases, they were more likely to make a kid want to try drugs. Kids are smarter than this. They can Google the real harms of marijuana or cannabis, as they say in Australia, and know that this is bunk.
What are you people? On dope?
Yes, we're all stoner sloths. Says the guy who puts in 10 to 12 hour days and writes 8 articles a week and produces 10 hours of content a week and travels 60,000 air miles a year. And yeah, I'm one hell of a stoner sloth, aren't I? Happy 420. Thinking of you, Maddie, back in the mountain time zone. We'll see you soon. Get.buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay. Maybe you're high too.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
All right, today in the Drug War Data Mine, we are taking a look at normal.org/laws/your state. That's right, this is one of the best archives you can get online is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, which has 51 different listings, all 50 states plus D.C., on their marijuana laws for possession, for cultivation, for drugged driving, all the things you want to know about your state are right there. And they provide links to the statutes online. So if you want to look up the actual laws, you can do that as well. So, for example, if you wanted to look up California law, you'd go to normal.org/laws/CA. And you're going to have all the California laws. There'll be links to click and you can find out everything you want to know. Well, today, in preparation for an article I'm writing for Cannabis Culture, I'm going to highlight 10 U.S. states with the toughest marijuana laws in the country. Where are the 10 places you'd least likely want to be as a regular cannabis consumer? And it varies here as to the reason why I'm putting these on the list. And the first one we're going to start with is the state of Wyoming. Now, the state of Wyoming, comparatively speaking, doesn't really have too bad of marijuana laws. It's misdemeanor for you to get your basic possession charges, and I think they've even got a misdemeanor when it comes to their cultivation charges. You have to have over 3 ounces to get a felony, and any cultivation is a misdemeanor. So, might be wondering, well, gee, what is the problem with the state of Wyoming? Well, Wyoming is one of 4 states where you can get busted for marijuana without actually having marijuana. Yeah, it's very, very strange. Wyoming has a statute for persons under the influence. It is a misdemeanor. You can get 6 months and $750 fine for that. Just for being under the influence of marijuana, not actually having any marijuana on you. The same thing exists in my home state, neighboring Idaho. Use or intoxication in public in Idaho is a misdemeanor that can get you 6 months or a $1,000 fine. Idaho is also tougher than Wyoming when it comes to marijuana cultivation. Cultivation of even a single marijuana plant can get you a felony. It has a 1-year mandatory minimum and $50,000 fine. Now you know why I left Idaho. New Jersey is another state that will punish people for merely being high. Being under the influence of marijuana is a misdemeanor that can be punished by 6 months, just like Wyoming and Idaho, a fine of $1,000, just like Idaho, but also loss of public housing, potential eviction from leased premises, loss of driving privileges for not less than 6 months, mandatory loss of driving privileges for 2 years if the marijuana was in your vehicle, so if you were under the influence in your vehicle, a term of community service, a mandatory $75 safe neighborhood service assessment, a mandatory $50 lab fee, a mandatory $50 victims of crime compensation penalty, a mandatory $500 drug enforcement demand reduction penalty, and a period of probation for up to 5 years. By the time you have paid all of those penalties, you've paid $1,675 just for being high and gotten kicked out of your house and can't drive anymore. But the state that does the worst for punishing people merely for having smoked marijuana, not possessing it, is the state of South Dakota. In South Dakota, they have a curious law called internal possession, where you can be busted for the possession of the metabolites in your system. Even if you didn't smoke marijuana in the state of South Dakota, you could fly to Colorado, enjoy 420 weekend. When you get back to South Dakota, if for any reason they end up taking a pee test from you, you can be busted for internal possession, get a misdemeanor with a year in prison and a $2,000 fine. Now, another way where these United States often differ, and sometimes tragically so, on their punishments has to do with concentrates or hash oil, however you want to think of it. In South Dakota, where, again, you can get busted just for having metabolites in your system, if you are in possession of any hash, it is a felony with 10 years, $20,000 fine. Texas, any hash on you, less than a gram, felony, 180 days to 2 years, and a $10,000 fine. In Florida, possession of hashish, any amount, is a felony, 5 years, $5,000 fine, and a lifetime loss of your right to vote. You can get it back, but hardly anybody ever does. And yet another way where the states differ and in their punitive measures against cannabis consumers is in their DUI laws. In Utah, there is a per se DUID for marijuana metabolites. And if you fail it, it's a Class B misdemeanor with 48 hours mandatory minimum in jail. Georgia has a similar law, DUI, if you have any amount of metabolites in your system, and that can be a fine of up to $1,000, incarceration for up to 10 days to 12 months with a mandatory minimum of a day. Oklahoma, you can get a life sentence for converting marijuana into hash or concentrates. And Arizona, the worst state for marijuana consumers, any possession amount can be a felony. Any metabolite in your system while driving is a per se DUID. Jail for 10 days to 6 months. So be very careful, folks. Check me out on cannabisculture.com, and we'll have all of these states posted up there, plus the links to all these statutes. Also, just now that I'm thinking about it here, in Oklahoma, possession of any amount of marijuana is a crime subject up to a year incarceration. A second conviction for possession in Oklahoma is a felony, penalty of 2 to 10 years. And Georgia, possession of any amount of hashish, felony, 1 year mandatory minimum, $5,000 fine. There's still a whole lot of work to do here in this great country before we see true cannabis freedom for every American citizen. We're back with Mason DeVert from MPP right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour. Joining us by telephone from Denver, Colorado, we've got Mason DeVert from the Marijuana Policy Project on the line. How you doing, Mason?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Russ.
Yep. Happy holidays to you and everyone out there. We're really excited. We're moving into 2016, and I announced this on the headline news, but maybe you can give us a little more detail on the latest update on voting or signature totals for Massachusetts.
Well, today we learned that the signature drive was successful and that enough valid signatures of registered voters were collected to move on to the next step. And in Massachusetts, that means that our initiative will be sent to the legislature, which has the option of adopting it. And if they don't, there will be a brief signature collecting period this summer, I believe in June, where we'll have to collect another 10,000 or so valid signatures, at which point the measure will be on the ballot. So this is really a big hurdle that we've just crossed.
Now, is there a reasonable chance that the legislature might enact this? And if they did, isn't their governor pretty opposed to this stuff?
Well, reasonable and legislature don't often go together, Russ. So I would say that it's highly unlikely that we would see the legislature adopt the measure. So we are really going forward with every expectation of having to campaign hard to pass this measure at the ballot box in November.
Yeah. All right. Well, as far as November goes, we're looking really good here. We've been discussing this all week and how Marijuana Policy Project's backing four different initiatives that look like they're going to make the ballot. Nevada's already on the ballot. Arizona, can you tell us where we're at with Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona's looking really good. We've got over 125,000 signatures now. Our goal is to get 230,000 to make sure we have enough to qualify. And I believe about 150,000 ballot are needed. So from all reports from that campaign, it's going incredibly well. There's a lot of excitement. Signatures are being collected a lot faster than expected, so that's really looking good right now.
All right, so Nevada is on the ballot. Arizona's looking good. Massachusetts just cleared its first hurdle, and Maine's an interesting situation. If I understand correctly, this is the legalized Maine language, but you guys are backing it as the Crimla campaign. Or can you sort that out for me?
Sure. Well, there were two competing initiative campaigns. There was legalized Maine, and then there was the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol. And really, the initiatives are quite similar. There are some differences in terms of possession levels and in terms of which government agency will be overseeing the regulatory process. But ultimately, both initiatives established a system in which marijuana would be regulated and taxed and so on. So they're essentially very similar. It became clear that it would be best for one initiative to move forward, and both groups came together. We've been talking for quite some time, and it was agreed that we would move forward united behind one initiative. That initiative would be the legalized Maine initiative, but it will be the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol that everyone's going to get behind in support of it.
All right.
So it is the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol.
And the signatures on that one?
We need to collect about another 30 or 40,000 more, I believe, over the next month. We've got until roughly the end of January, but from what I hear, things are going well. There are petitioners out there. It's really just a matter of hoping the weather holds and that people are able to get out there and collect and wrap it up, but things are going pretty well.
All right. Well, let's dig deep into some of these things, because I have questions about all of them, and before we do, let me let you know that I support them all. Legalization always trumps prohibition, but there are aspects that probably deserve a little bit of discussion. And the first one for me would be the legalization on the ballot in Nevada. While at the very beginning, it promises that adults have the right to cultivate 6 plants up to 12 plants per household, later down in the penalties, it penalizes anyone who does so within 25 miles of a licensed retailer. Can you explain why we would put this 25-mile halo in the Nevada law?
Ultimately, while the initiative was being put together, and it came down to a lot of people believing that it was going to get far more support, that right now people in Nevada are not going to be very supportive of allowing adults to grow marijuana. So we wanted to make sure people had access to marijuana, meaning they could live near a store, purchase marijuana, and if they didn't, they'd be able to grow it themselves. One really important thing to keep in mind is that, just like we've seen with other initiatives, this is really setting a floor of what's going to be allowed. So, under this initiative, people will be able to possess marijuana. If they don't live within 25 miles of the store, they can grow it. And we have no doubt that we're going to see these laws evolve over time. But right now, it just seems that voters in Nevada appear as if they would like to see a little more restrictiveness on that side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes people on our side that are, we know the truth about the cannabis plant, and we think it ought to be, you know, much more legal. And they get a little confused, and they don't understand these things and see that there's, you know, political meaning behind them. There's a reason why these things happened. And I would like to add to your point about the evolution of these things, because a similar situation happened when you guys were pushing the Arizona medical marijuana law, which had a similar 25-mile halo. Am I understanding correctly that the Arizona law, which does give the right for six plants and then a household limit of 12, will counteract that in Arizona? Like the 25-mile halo may die in Arizona thanks to legalization?
Yeah, so in Arizona, we've come to find that now voters are really a lot more understanding of these laws. They recognize it has not been an issue. And so that law does allow for adults to grow limited amounts of marijuana. And if you're a patient and you're an adult, then you will not have to worry about that whole 25-mile halo if this initiative passes. And, you know, another good example is you look at Washington State, where they didn't include home cultivation in that law. And then you've really seen a lot of support grow in the legislature, and you've really, you know, you're seeing an evolution there where it's going to be allowed. So we're really just trying to make sure we can end prohibition as quickly as possible and have reasonable laws and room for improvement.
Excellent. Now, another consideration, after we legalized in Colorado and Washington State, we saw reports that, yeah, the possession collars went down, but there's all sorts of collars now for public toking, you know, public consumption. And in the Nevada law, you've got a public toking penalty that's a misdemeanor with a $600 fine. That's a little concerning, because sometimes our friends in the racial justice movements will tell us those public toking tickets are going to go, or misdemeanors are going to go more likely to people of color.
You know, absolutely. Unfortunately, what we see are typically more people in communities of color being arrested for every type of crime, because there tends to be larger law enforcement presences in those communities. I'm not 100% certain on all of the details of the Nevada public consumption section, but I do know that Nevada is written in a way where we'd be able to allow for consumption, social use in designated areas. And that's really one of the things that we also are trying to make sure is going to be possible in all of these states. We want to make sure that adults will have places where they can use marijuana socially, so that it's not a matter of using it illegally on the street or in their home, because sometimes people don't have a home where they're able to use it, or they're visiting town or what have you.
Another aspect of these laws, I was looking at the Arizona CRMLA and the Massachusetts CRMLA, and both of them have moved the regulation of cannabis, both medical and commercial, into one agency, and set up a situation where if the state doesn't get around to licensing pot shops, the dispensaries can start selling to all adults, like what we did here in Oregon with our early sales. Why did you do it that way in Arizona and Massachusetts, but not Nevada, to give people the possibility, if, you know, Nevada doesn't get its act together, that we have a place to shop?
You know, I honestly don't know the answer, because I wasn't the one that does the drafting of these initiatives. I could certainly look into it, but you know, when these laws get drafted, a lot of it entails dealing with local attorneys, local businesses, talking to a lot of local and state officials, and trying to determine what's going to work best and what's going to be the most palatable to the voters there. I believe that, right now, and, you know, you look at Colorado, the way that it was written was that it gave localities the ability to move forward if the state didn't get its act together. And fortunately, we saw the state get its act together, and the state really got things done out here in Colorado. And we're going to really hope and expect to see that occur in these other places. So far, that's been the case in all of these states, like Colorado, Washington, Alaska, and as you've been pointed out, in Oregon, where the state took it upon itself to move things forward faster than it needed to begin with.
Yeah, good things can happen in the aftermath of legalization. We're speaking to Mason DeVert from Marijuana Policy Project, and I wanted to point out another couple of good things that are happening, some trends that are developing in these initiatives. In the Arizona CRMLA, you've added this protection for consumers' rights, that the state cannot punish people for the presence of metabolites in their system. So is that going to invalidate Arizona's metabolite per se DUID law?
That's our understanding, and you know, it's really one of the most absurd types of laws when you're punishing people for driving while impaired when they haven't even used marijuana in the past several hours or even several days or in some cases several weeks. And so that was certainly put in there with the intention of ensuring people who are not impaired are not being punished for driving.
Absolutely. And another great trend here, Nevada, Arizona, and Massachusetts leave the possibility open for adult consumption lounges. Maine mandates it. There will be adult consumption lounges. That's great progress. And can you give us an update on the progress in Colorado? I know you guys were working on that in Denver.
Yeah, so in Colorado, it is still something being discussed. We had brought forward an initiative here in the city of Denver to allow for adult consumption in specific types of areas that were only open to people 21 and older. And basically, the city said that they wanted to work with us on it. And then we had also some of the very large business groups like the Colorado Restaurant Association, the Hotel and Lodging Association, the Downtown Partnership, come out and say that they also wanted to see a solution. And so we decided to withdraw that initiative and work with the city because we have a history here in Denver of passing laws that when the city isn't city officials are not behind them, they don't really like to implement them. For example, in 2005, we passed a measure making possession legal. In 2007, we made possession the lowest law enforcement priority. And those were not things city officials wanted, and so they really resisted. And rather than see that happen here again with this, if the city is, you know, they said that they're committed to working with us, we are going to try to get that to happen. And if it doesn't, we'll be able to go and put something on the ballot and get it done. But right now, it's something being talked about with city officials, and it's also something being talked about at the state level. And there will likely be at least one or two proposals when it comes to having a state law, whether it's a matter of having licensed lounges or licensed businesses that can do this, or whether it's allowing adults to consume in certain types of already licensed businesses like bars or what have you. But it's moving forward. And then, of course, in Alaska, we recently saw the rules created there to establish a specific license for marijuana retail stores that will allow for on-site consumption.
That's great news. And we're also seeing protections being added, more protections for consumers, including protection of family rights, child custody, parental rights, adoption, organ transplants, medical procedures. These aren't in all of the bills, but they're starting to be added. We really appreciate you guys at MPP for thinking of us that way. Mason DeVert's the communications director for Marijuana Policy Project, and you can find out more at mpp.org. Thanks, Mason, and happy holidays to you.
Thanks so much, Russ. Same to you.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. When we come back, we'll have a little bit more to look at these different initiatives. I'll give you some of the details and highlight the best and the worst of legalization in 2016. I'm Radical Russ. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
MJWellness.com, the largest medical marijuana community in the world. Connect with thousands of patients, doctors, industry leaders, and businesses through shared personal experiences along our worldwide network. Discover new therapies and benefits with content tailored to you. Come grow your network on MJWellness.com. You're not alone. Your wellness matters. Learn, live, and thrive. Check out MJWellness.com today.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law.
in federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today in the rant, we're examining the five different legalizations that are likely to make the ballot in 2016. There could be some more, but these are the four presented by the Marijuana Policy Project in Nevada, Arizona, Massachusetts, and Maine, and the Sean Parker Initiative in California. So we're going to go down the list here, and if you want to follow along, this is available at marijuanapolitics.com. I've posted it as the Marijuana Politics Guide to 2016 Marijuana Legalization, or something to that effect. And I've made it a nice handy table for you, not just of the five states that will legalize, but of the four states and DC that already have legalized, so you can kind of compare and contrast and see how these things are evolving. So first of all, let's get to the basics. Possession. How much can you possess? All of the states that are looking to legalize in 2016 would let you possess an ounce of marijuana, except Maine. Maine will allow you to possess up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana. Now, all of those include however much concentrate you're going to possess. Okay, so when we get to the concentrate limits, you also have to, like, if you're allowed 8 grams of concentrate, like in California, then you can only have an additional 20 grams of flower. You don't get an ounce of flower and 8 grams of concentrate. It's 28 ounces or 28 grams total. 8 grams of it can be concentrate. Okay, so that, make sure we're clear on that. Now, when it comes to regulating edibles and liquids, none of these states follow in the footsteps of Oregon and Washington by limiting edibles by weight or liquids by volume. In both those states, in the Pacific Northwest, you can have a pound of edibles and you can have 72 ounces of liquids. All these other states and the other existing states allow you to have your possession limit in that product. So your plate of brownies, for example, could have up to 1 ounce of marijuana in them. And why I find that problematic is because if I got a cop questioning me about the brownies, I'd like them to be able to pull out a scale, weigh them, and when they come up to 14 ounces, say, all right, you're on your way. But if I'm in a state where it's 1 ounce in the brownies, that cop has to take the brownies so that they can be tested to find out how much marijuana is in them. And then I'm sitting on pins and needles wondering whether or not I'm going to get a criminal charge coming up against me. As far as possession of concentrate, all of these new states would allow you to possess concentrate. 5 grams in Arizona or Massachusetts, 7 grams in Nevada, 8 grams in California. But in Maine, all 2.5 ounces of your possession could be concentrate. Yeah, you could possess up to 2.5 ounces of dabs. Are you kidding me? Now, if you end up possessing a little too much, maybe you're a little over your limit, what happens to you then? You know, very famously here in the state of Oregon, we had twice as much of our limit decrimmed. And then up to 4 times of our limit, just a misdemeanor, right? So not only did we legalize a certain amount, but we also depenalized the amounts over that. Have the other states followed suit? Well, a couple have. In Arizona, possession between 1 ounce and 2.5 ounces will end up being a $300 fine. In Massachusetts, possession of 1 ounce to 2 ounces will be a $100 fine. So both of those states will decrim twice as much as what you're allowed to possess. But in the other states, they remain with their current laws. So they went ahead and legalized up to 1 ounce or 2.5 in Maine. But after that, they just left what the criminal laws are. So the criminal law in Maine says that you can that up to 1 pound is a crime with 6 months to a year. In California, anything over 1 ounce is a misdemeanor with 6 months and $500 fine. And in Nevada, anything over 1 ounce could be felony with intent to sell with a mandatory 1 year and up to 4 years in prison. How about possession felonies? If you go way over your limit, is it possible to get a felony? It's impossible in the state of Oregon. There is no possession felony anymore. So, Massachusetts and California have gone ahead and gotten rid of all possession felonies. There will be no possession you can have, I mean, absent conspiracy, intent to sell, you know, all those kind of things. But if it's just mere possession, no amount you can have in Massachusetts or California that'll get you a felony. In Arizona, if you have more than 2.5 ounces, you'll end up getting a felony. In Maine, if you have more than a pound, you'll get a felony. And again, in Nevada, anything over an ounce can be a felony, depending on the circumstances. How about cultivation? Well, all of these states are going to allow you to plant 6 plants, except Nevada, if you're within 25 miles of a pot shop. That's that pot shop halo, which Mason Tvert just explained to us was necessary for political reasons. Arizona and Massachusetts, or I'm sorry, excuse me, California will only allow you to have 6 plants per household. It's not per adult, it's per household. In Arizona and Massachusetts, they let you have 6 plants per adult, but a limit of 12 plants in the household. And in Maine, you can have 6 mature plants, 12 immature plants, and that's non-flowering plants over 2 foot tall, veg, right? And unlimited seedlings. That's non-flowering plants below 2 foot tall. And as far as I can tell in this initiative, no household limit. So every adult in the household could have 6 mature, 12 veg, and unlimited seedlings. But there is a weird twist. Every plant that you grow at home has to be tagged with your name and driver's license number. Doesn't say you have to buy a state tag or anything like that. It's not a registration or anything like that. You just have to go get twisty ties and, you know, write down your name and driver's license number on all your plants. How about when you cultivate those plants and you harvest them? Well, unlike Oregon and I think maybe Oregon's the only one. In Oregon, we allow you to possess 8 ounces of your harvest. Well, you get 4 plants, so that means 2 ounces per plant. And I know a lot of people that grow a whole lot more than that. Every other state that's going to legalize marijuana has got this figured out and allows you to possess the results of your harvest. Now, that virtually means unlimited possession at home if you're home growing. Because, you know, how much did you harvest? You could have harvested a whole bunch. I got 6 pounds sitting here. Well, I've had, you know, X number of harvests. But the law in Massachusetts takes it one step further. Not only can you possess the results of your harvest, you can also possess another 10 ounces. It allows you to have 10 ounces possession independent of whether or not you're growing at home. For all the rest of these people, it might be tough if you're not growing at home. Although you could say I was growing and I got rid of my lights and everything. So that's the breakdown for our concerns as consumers. In Nevada and Massachusetts, when you're cultivating your marijuana, in any of those states, could it be possible to get busted if you grow too much? In California's Adult Use of Marijuana Act, it's a $250 fine to grow more than your 6 plants or have them seen in public. But no criminal penalties that I can find. In Massachusetts, if people can see your plants, it's a $300 fine. And if you're growing up to twice your limit, it's just a $100 fine. So they've decrimmed up to double the number of plants you're cultivating. But in Nevada, growing too much remains a misdemeanor for the first 3 offenses and a felony with the 4th offense. In Arizona, growing too many plants is a felony. And in Maine, growing too many plants will be a crime with 1 to 10 years that you can get busted. Next would be the personal use clubs. Will you be able to go light up a joint in a marijuana lounge? Absolutely, in the state of Maine. It is guaranteed they have it in their licensing scheme. The rest of the states could permit it. California could permit it. Massachusetts might permit it. Nevada might permit it. And Arizona might permit it, but can't until 2020. So there's kind of a moratorium until 2020. As far as public toking, you get caught toking in a non-smoking zone, you get a $100 fine in Maine, a $300 fine in Arizona. California and Massachusetts specify a $100 fine, but also add a new open container law. If you're busted with an open container of weed in a car, you get a $250 fine in California, a $500 fine in Massachusetts. And then in Nevada, it remains a misdemeanor, a crime to get caught toking in public with a $600 fine. Marijuana DUIDs. Well, Nevada retains its law, which is a 2 nanogram THC in blood or a 5 nanogram metabolites in urine gets you an automatic DUID. As far as California, Maine, and Massachusetts, they have to go by impairment, so there's no per se DUID of any sort. And in Massachusetts, their law does not have implied consent for a blood or urine specimen, so you can actually refuse the test. Arizona's got one of the worst per se DUID laws in the nation, where any amount of metabolite gets you a DUI. But as we were speaking with Mason Tvert, there's a clause in the legalization there that says that the state cannot punish people for metabolites, and that would supersede their DUID law. So it's actually going to get better in Arizona. Marijuana delivery is not specified. It could be approved in Arizona in 2020, and California will allow marijuana deliveries, but Maine, Massachusetts, and Nevada will not. In all the states except Maine, your boss can still fire you based on marijuana metabolites. But Maine has a special protection for your employment rights. You cannot be denied employment simply for metabolites. Similarly, Maine protects your housing rights. You cannot be denied housing because of your use of marijuana. In all the other states, landlords can ban smoking and cultivation in their properties. Child custody is protected in Maine, Massachusetts, and Arizona. Organ transplants are protected in Arizona and Massachusetts. And that's about everything we're going to cover for today, because we're running out of time for hour one. Thanks for joining us. Again, you can pick this up at marijuanapolitics.com. Check it out. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com and Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, live on CannabisRadio.com. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you